Welcome to the Storage Stories Podcast, where Deanie Burns and Jason Coonan tackle self-storage news, trends, education, and share their expert experience in both the U.S. and Canadian markets. This podcast is for rookies and seasoned veterans alike as we all try to grow our businesses and leave our mark on the self-storage industry.
Welcome, everyone, to our first podcast of Storage Stories with the Birds, Deanie Burns and Jason Coonan. So we're excited to kick this off today. So you may be asking, what makes this pod different? There's so many different pods out there for self-storage. What makes this different? So we're going to be reporting out on self-storage news, current news, breaking news, explaining it all, breaking it down, giving our opinions on it, how it might impact you in your self-storage portfolio and business. We're also going to be reporting out on trends, opportunities, educating as well. So there's a lot of new people to self-storage, what's happening in the industry, along with having important guest speakers, which will be a lot of fun. I can't wait for those segments. So we are also going to be talking about the difference between Canada and U.S. operations. So there's some pretty important differences to note. Jason Coonan's really well-versed in the Canadian region, and we're both well-versed in the U.S. So that's going to be a lot of fun to do the comparisons and the contrasts on that. So this podcast is for rookies who want to learn. It's for those who want to be apprised of breaking news in the industry and avoid common mistakes. We'll also be talking about that. So that's going to be a really important one, things to avoid. And so how is this going to be different? New trends in the industry, breaking news, opportunities, education, and international versus U.S. operations. So that'll be a fun twist to it. So who am I? I'm Deanie Burns. I'm the director of sales for Sunbird Storage Management in the U.S. Sunbird is in the U.S. So some of my background includes I have my business degree from Cal State Fullerton with an emphasis in marketing. Started my career in tech, working for a Fortune 50 company in the global sales department. And I was also a school administrator, public school administrator for one of the largest charter schools in the state of California. We were a top U.S. News and World Report school, and then transitioned to actually working in self-storage. So I wanted to get back into technology, and I found a little company in the Temecula region. It's not a lot of tech companies there, so there was a little company that was selling software for self-storage, and I thought, self-storage, really? But it ended up being a lot of fun. I met a lot of great people. I love this industry. People in this industry are salt of the earth, so I've really enjoyed my journey through self-storage with all of you. I've also worked for a couple of other companies in the industry, some tech companies selling websites, software, tenant protection, tenant insurance, and now working for Sunbird Storage Management. I've also worked for operators, and many people don't know this, but in order to gain empathy and understand at the facility level what facility managers go through, I actually did an internship that I asked for, I applied for, and volunteered my time to work in a facility office for a bit. So that was very informative and educational. I'm glad I have that background as well and experience. So I've traveled the world with self-storage, met thousands of operators, and that's important because not only did I get to travel the world, but got to attend many educational sessions at various conferences all throughout the U.S., including the Australasia conference, which was great in Australia, and the FIDESA conference in Paris, which is sort of the European Union of sorts for self-storage. And so doing all of that has given me a lot of different perspective on the industry. I've learned a lot, had a great education, and got to talk to thousands of operators who many of you are doing a similar type of operation, but there's some of you out there who are doing something quite different. So we're going to be talking about that on this podcast, including talking about best practices, processes, best technology, additional revenue streams for various business models. And some of those business models can be a little bit wacky, a little bit different, but they're making people money. So a lot of interesting business models out there that we will be exploring. And Jason's great at the finance piece of it. So he'll be helping us break down the numbers and say, which one's really profitable? Is this really a good value added benefit to the facility, this additional potential revenue stream? Should I add vending machines? I don't know. So Jason will be analyzing that, helping us work through the profitability on that. And I, of course, love self-storage. I've seen it be a great investment vehicle for people. And so I'm excited to talk about this on this podcast with Jason, but enough about me. So Jason Coonan, you're a CEO of Bluebird Storage in Canada and Sunbird Storage in the US. So tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your background?
Yeah, thanks, Deanie. Yeah, you've got quite the extensive background. Like you said, 6 years in the storage industry, covering many different aspects of it. Myself, not quite as long, coming up on 5 years soon. And for me, it's been quite an interesting journey. Before self-storage, I think it's important just to share some of the areas of my career that I focused on that have prepared me for my storage journey. So starting off with some academic experiences in economics, analytic finance. I've got my CFA, which is a chartered financial analyst degree. So that's typically for people that are managing investment portfolios. So you don't find too many CFAs in self-storage, but all the experience that I've had working in banking has very much prepared me for the storage endeavor. I left banking in 2020, just prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. And interestingly, I had decided to start my own consulting company to help small businesses grow. And that's when I met the founders of Bluebird Self-Storage. They had extensive experience developing and managing storage across the U.S. as well as in Toronto, Canada. So my first consulting engagement was fortuitous in that I was able to then build a relationship with the founders of Bluebird. We focused initially on development projects and the underwriting and the pro forma models for all the economics related to building and developing a new self-storage facility. And late in 2020, we decided to work on a business case for third-party management in Canada. So what were the risks, what were the potential rewards of scaling our own brand? Previously, there were about 10 Bluebird self-storage facilities in the Toronto area that were being managed by a REIT from the US. And we decided to take the management back in-house and build our own brand, build our own property management business. And we've since scaled that business pretty dramatically from just being in Ontario to now we're in 6 provinces. We are Canada's, a top 10 player in Canada. We're the only coast-to-coast storage brand with 25 locations now and about 2 million square feet under management. And we're building storage quite aggressively there with another 1 million square feet in the works. So all of that has really given me a lot of experience. Didn't really know anything about self-storage prior to 2020, but have learned pretty quickly. We've tried many, many things, some of which have worked spectacularly well and others which have failed. And we've had to continually learn and pivot. And that's one of the things about our company that you'll learn is we're not afraid to try new things and not afraid to make quick changes. So, and that's kind of how we got here today. So we spent 4 years working across Canada, really gaining more experience before entering a more competitive US marketplace with many, many more stores and many more property management companies. So it's a very competitive market, but we feel like we're quite prepared based on our Canada experience to launch our U.S. brand, which is Sunbird Storage, which we launched approximately a year ago. So spring of 2023. So it's been quite a journey, and I'm excited about this podcast because there's tremendous amount of change that the industry has been undergoing. Obviously, there's the pre-COVID days, then there's the pandemic days, and now the post-pandemic. So we're seeing rapid changes in customer service, technology, as well as operations. So we're excited to dive in.
Awesome. So you said you're not afraid to try new things. So how do you plan to take that approach and apply it to self-storage, and especially self-storage in the U.S.? What would you like to change?
Now, that's a great question. And if I go back to my experience when I was just learning self-storage in 2020 and trying to observe the large operators and their processes and their strategies and basically their philosophies, there's a lot of commonalities across the large and mid-sized players. And many of the leaders have all come from the same companies originally, and then they've kind of spread their wings and gone out on their own. So many of them are running the same playbook. And when I think about things that that I'm good at and that our team is good at, and areas where we can differentiate ourselves, I think that there are an increasing number of opportunities in terms of, you know, our customer value proposition, our operating philosophies, our revenue management strategies, the design of our facilities, revenue management, which includes the pricing of our units, as well as our approach to marketing. So I think that there's a handful of major categories where in some cases we're doing, if you will, the exact opposite of what most others are doing. And that creates, I think, a space for us to be a new entrant and somewhat of a disruptor. I've been accused certainly of being unconventional, which is fine with me. I think we have to try new things, and we have to look at what everybody else is doing and ask if that's the best way to do it, and carve out a space for ourselves.
Exactly. So I just want to break down, you had mentioned a customer value proposition. So that sounds like a lot of that's a terminology maybe not everybody knows what that means. So would you be willing to break that down and expound upon that a little bit more? What did you mean by that?
Sure. I think generally speaking, there's a lot of aspects that contribute to sort of the customer experience and what they get in terms of value from their hard-earned money. So as the industry has continued to mature and consolidate, many large operators are focused obviously on cost cutting. So with our storage operations, we are intensely focused on delivering the highest level of customer service that we can, as well as building long-term relationships with customers. So while many competitors, I would say, might be focused on cutting costs, we're much more focused on driving top-line revenue. And to do that, we have to be able to charge a premium price, which requires a premium level of service. So that's really our strategy, trying to view each customer as a relationship and not simply a transaction. So an example of that is we don't increase our rent on a new tenant for at least 365 days. So that's an example of how we value the long-term relationship of the customer. We provide high levels of transparency into our operations, whether you're a tenant or an investor. We believe that honesty and transparency is really the right way to treat our business partners and our customers, and in the long run will prevail. We may have some short-term losses as a result of doing the right thing and honoring those commitments, but we find it leads to a lot more brand loyalty, higher ratings on Google, and longer average lengths of stay.
Right, exactly. So when you're talking customer, you're talking specifically about the tenant, because we really sell to two different types of customers. We have our B2B, which is the Sunbird Storage Management, where we're we're helping owners of self-storage facilities who don't want to be involved with the day-to-day, deal with employees, et cetera. So that's our customer from Sunbird. And I feel like that's more of a relationship sale, right? They've got to trust us that we're going to handle their baby, their business that they've poured their heart and soul into, or just poured a lot of money into, that we're going to take good care of it, that we're going to listen to their concerns, we're going to manage it correctly so that they're making the expected investment or ROI return on it. And so that's one relationship, but then we also have to sell to the tenant on behalf of them. And so we put facility managers at the facility, and they're actually, that's more of a transactional sale where they're selling to the tenant. And that's a whole different type of customer base, demographic, way of selling. And so I like what you said, and what Sunbird is doing is that we treat both with a lot of dignity, high dignity, a lot of respect, but our approach is different. And so with tenants, it's important. 60% of renters, as we know, are women. And as women, we prefer cleanliness and safety and security. And those are high values for us. So most people will say, come in and say, oh, you know, price is my high value. That's what I'm looking for. Price, price, price all day long. And I think you had mentioned being in the finance industry that you actually realized that people may say that as their high value, but that's not really their high value. It's something else. And they're buying based on another attribute or factor. So would you like to speak to what you learned in the finance industry and how you're applying that to self-storage?
Yeah, of course. I can certainly touch upon it, Deanie. I think some of these topics are worthy of, in some cases, their own episodes or segments of episodes, which we need to dive really deep in. But I think they fall under the general category in terms of how we treat storage facility owners as well as tenants with integrity, with transparency. We're trying to build a long-term relationship. We run these operations much more like a boutique. We are a relatively small operator, and we're delivering a higher level of service than you might expect from a chain store. So in terms of other experiences that I've had that have led me to some of my philosophies around self-storage, I think there is a widely held belief. In fact, I was just having the same conversation with somebody this morning in a completely different industry about their business. They're in the manufacturing business. But my experience in banking was there's a belief that everyone is competing on price, and that, you know, let's just say the store with the lowest price or the bank with the lowest interest rate is going to win all the customers and take all the market, and every customer has perfect information on all the storage prices. And if your price is, you know, a dollar more than the competition, you won't rent any units. You know, we've had many, many experiences and examples and case studies that we're going to go through on subsequent episodes. But in banking, we had a small loan product. So for customers who needed quick access to funds, they might need $500 or $5,000, but these were not going to be collateralized or secured by any assets. So they're unsecured personal loans. And previously, the process was very cumbersome for the customer who needed to apply for credit, and very time consuming in terms of how long it would take to get a decision. So we had sort of a hypothesis that, you know, if we could improve the customer experience, we could also offer even higher interest rates, because the customers would be willing to pay for other things. So they weren't as sensitive just to the interest rate, but what was really important to them was that they needed access to the money, because they need the $5,000 for an emergency expense or a vacation, what have you, but they needed access to the amount that they desired. So giving them access to that credit and then doing it in a timely fashion. So we were able to get that process to be much more streamlined. And we took it from like a 5-day type of process to, you know, under 30 minutes. So a customer could come in, talk about their financial needs, apply for this personal loan, have a cup of coffee, and then, you know, have the funds in their account before they walk out the door. And what we found was that customers were much more willing to pay higher interest rates because we were fulfilling their other needs, which had to do with things like convenience and timeliness and, you know, an easy application process. So in storage, I think those are some factors that we should explore on our future episodes and with our guests in terms of what do they say, but what do they actually do, and why do they choose to rent from you? And I think there's ample evidence around the type and quality of the facility, the treatment by the staff, the ease of renting or reserving online, the convenience or the location of the facility, and the assumption that if your price doesn't match competitors or equal the average price in the market, that you will not be able to rent units. We're going to dive into some really interesting topics, I think, around some cases where we've had significantly different prices from our competitors and how we fared. And right now, I think within our industry, as you mentioned, some owners and operators are struggling to figure out what's the right strategy. They have to adapt. Following, you know, record years, you know, 2021, 2022, everybody was renting units, pricing was going up. It was, as some would describe, too easy. So even if you didn't really know what you were doing, you could rent units. But I think there's a premium now on operations and strategy and certainly on execution. So now that you're hearing stories of, you know, rental activities down, you know, 10, 20, 30% from last year, street rates are falling. How do you navigate this market? If the number of rentals is down, how do you take market share? How do you maintain your revenue if prices are falling? So we're going to explore some of those topics and offer some suggestions and have other operators on our program that can share with you some of the things that they're doing to help combat that. But I know it's very difficult, and you know, you're going to have to try a lot of new things and figure out what works. But we're here to help you however we can.
I agree. And I think it's going to separate the eagles from the crows. So eagles fly at a much higher altitude than the crow, and the crow tries to attack the eagle and it can't reach a certain higher altitude. It falls off. So we're going to all have to learn and grow and become eagles and soar above. So I'm excited about this journey with you. Thank you for your time today. Any last comments, or are you ready to wrap it up?
No, I'm looking forward to getting some more content out there and seeing where it takes us, and seeing as well what other questions or feedback we can get that we can help address.
Excellent. So thank you, everyone, for joining us for our first podcast of Storage Stories. We're excited to bring this to you. Looking forward to future episodes and content. And like Jason said, we want your feedback. We want to know what topics are important for you. So bye, everyone. Have a great rest of your week.
That concludes this episode of the Storage Stories podcast. Be sure to share and subscribe as we continue to tackle self-storage news, trends, education, and personal experiences from the competitive world of self-storage.